Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask you to bless us with your presence this morning, Lord. We thank you that you're already here, Lord. We're reminded in prayer this morning, Lord, that you know every word, every thought before we speak it or think it, Lord. And we just ask you would continue to guide us, Lord, as we run this race, Lord. Guide our church here at Wellspring. And let's pray for wisdom now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're talking about the anointing in our series on Lent. The scripture was Luke 18 and 19, but I'm going to back it up a little bit to Luke 3, 21, the chapter before. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. So you see, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The last time we hear about Jesus was when he was 12 and he was in the temple. And his parents thought he was lost, but he told them that he was being about his father's business. So for the last 18 years, a lot of Bible scholars believe that Jesus, that's where Jesus was. When he wasn't in the carpenter shop, he was out in the temple asking questions, learning. And it says in when he was at 12 years old that they were amazed at how knowledgeable he was. If we look at, go over to chapter 4 now, 4:1, Jesus, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And he was led into the desert, tempted by the devil. And then if we look at verse 13, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And I just, I know it doesn't really have anything to do with the anointing, but the devil, it says, is always roaming around seeking who he may devour. And he was looking for an opportune time to attack Jesus again. And it's no different for us. And I think that that's one reason that we need the anointing. And then we read further on here. Jesus returned to Galilee, verse 14, in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And here's our verses for the day. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Two things in that scriptures was the idea that we're going to come back to this. 15, he taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. And then verse 20, let me see where it is. All spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words. It's verse 22. When Jesus starts reading, he's reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, stating that today the scripture is fulfilled. And that's obviously referring to himself. Isaiah had prophesied approximately 700 years before this about Jesus. And I picked this up on my phone. It is interesting to note that over 300 prophecies were predicted in the Old Testament pointing to Jesus, and he fulfilled every one of them, which is quite a feat for all of them to come true. Back to verse 18, our lesson for the day. I want to look at the things Jesus was anointed to do. And as we go through these, think about how we can do the same things, and then we'll have a little discussion at the end here. The first one, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And we know that all through the Gospels how Jesus was concerned about the poor, his compassion for the poor. He often lived among the poor, healed them, taught them, and as we know, he fed them on different occasions. The second thing is, it's not in the NIV version, but the King James includes it. He was anointed to heal the brokenhearted. And if you look back at Isaiah 61, 3 and 4, where Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 61, Isaiah is quite a bit concerned about mourning and grief and replacing it with a crown of beauty, oil of gladness, the garment of praise. The third thing we see Jesus anointed to do was proclaim freedom for the prisoners. And of course, restorative justice came to mind, and the prison ministry, how Mike got restorative justice started, and before that, Charlie Ness got Liberty Ministry started, and the fact that the prison is right in our own backyard. There are many scriptures that talk about the concern for those in prison, about prisoners. Just an example, Matthew 25, 39 and 40. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me, by including the sick and those in prison. And like I said, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about prison and prisoners and injustice. Jesus was not only concerned about those who were actually in prison, but those who were in spiritual bondage, sin, addiction, pride, unforgiveness. And I think everybody probably remembers the song by the Eagles, Hotel California. I remember that. I lived at the Colonial Hotel in Zieglersville, and that, well, you called that the Hotel California. You can check out whenever you want, but you can never leave. And that's one of the lines of the songs. And we are prisoners here of our own device. And it just remind me of that spiritual bondage, the song. And I just want to read Psalm 107, a little bit of that. This was a scripture that was, when I first became a Christian, it kind of summed up my situation. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through the bars of iron. That was my situation when I became a Christian. So the next thing, number four, recovery of sight for the blind. Jesus went out teaching, preaching, and healing, and sent his disciples to do the same. Remember Bartimaeus, and there was quite a few different blind people in the Gospels where Jesus prayed for them and opened their eyes. And he also was including the spiritually blind, not only the poor in the spirit, but the religious leaders of the day, and tried to open their eyes to their own blindness. Number five, he was anointed to release the oppressed. In Jesus' time, there was a lot of oppression by the Roman government and the religious leaders of the day. There was taxes, slave labor, religious regulations that were unbearable. Jesus also dealt with these, and also dealt with people that were oppressed by the devil. You think about Legion. Remember, he had so many demons that they called him Legion. And the boy that the demon often threw him in the fire and water, and Jesus delivered both of them. And number six, the last one, he was anointed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In Isaiah 61, Isaiah was not only speaking of Jesus, but of the liberation of Israel from the Babylonian captivity. Jesus was referring, was proclaiming freedom from sin and all the blessings that are included in our salvation. These are the six areas Jesus was anointed for, and we're anointed to do the same. And I just want to finish reading this story because I thought found a couple things I thought were interesting. Starting at verse 22, all spoke well at him and were amazed at his gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son, they asked. Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what you have heard that you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Verse 28, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. And like I said, if you look back at verse 15, when he first started teaching in the synagogue, everyone praised him. Verse 22, they were amazed at his gracious words. And six verses later, the people became furious when they heard this. How do you get from being praised to they're going to ready to kill you? In the six verses, from amazed to furious, Jesus spoke truth to the Jewish people, letting them know if they weren't going to accept his plan of redemption, the Gentiles would. And another example Jesus gave was when he used two different non-Israelis, was the face of the Canaanite woman. Even the dogs eat the crumbs from under the master's table. And the second one was the centurion, the Roman centurion. Jesus said, I have not found anyone in Israel with so great a faith. And it was just interesting that he used two examples again to express the faith that we should have and the fact that the Jewish people didn't, but these two unbelievers, Gentiles, did. God not sent Jesus not only to save us, but to teach us and to anoint us to do good works to fulfill the Great Commission. Jesus sums it up when he tells us, in John 14:12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will even do greater things than these. In Isaiah 61, we are called to be oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So, with that in mind, I'd like to hear some response, if I could, about the six different anointings that Jesus was called to do, and we're to do likewise, preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, the prisoners, and let's see here, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So, any thoughts on that? We don't have any thoughts, but we're getting out early. Thank you, Dean.
There's always somebody in need, whatever it is. You know, we just mentioned Andrew's brother this morning, and how the oppression or whatever gets so bad that you want to take your own life. You know, that's why we need Jesus. Right, Kathy. Anyone else?
I don't think I thought about it before, but the connection with the anointing, with the proclamation, that how when we anoint someone with oil for healing, we're proclaiming kind of the power of God to heal that person when we're here most of the things here, I think of anointing as being anointed to do something, but it's, the anointing, it seems like it's more connected with the proclamation, the proclaiming something.
Speaking into it, I think that would, you're proclaiming it, you're commanding it more or less, and there's just so many needs out there, I just, I'm riding to church on Sunday morning, and I see people mowing the lawn or jogging, and I think, there's so much more to life than the everyday hustle and bustle, and, and when we were kids, they never had any sporting events on Sunday mornings anyway, on Sundays at all, and because, people respected the fact that most people went to church and stuff, and now it's the opposite. You see all the sports are, organized for Sundays mornings, especially. And so, Monica. Put him on the spot. I could tell a story about my dad when we moved over here from Lansdale. I was 13, I guess, and he never went to church, but my mom would take us to Sunday school, and he said, "Well, we're all going to start going to church at Wentz's church because it'll be good for business." Anyone else? Well, there's a good way to help the poor right there, the food pantry. I think a lot of people get a lot of good use out of it. They have two of them now, right? Two locations? Just one? In Rowan still?
No, they're dealing Bridge Plate by
the Italian Market. Yeah, okay. But the one in Rowan's is closed down?
Yeah,
they
have been jumping on
the machines. Okay. Jen?
And so, like y'all are saying, how when you're anointed to do something, it's like if you tell everyone you're going on a diet, now you're accountable. If you tell everyone you're anointed to help people, now you're accountable. Now everybody knows. The devil can't keep a hold on you because now you're accountable. And you're proclaiming that you're doing something. You're proclaiming you're going to do something. Now everyone knows you're doing it.
Right.
You got to do it now.
Yeah. There you go. Another good reason to be anointed. I think that was reminding me one. If you want to bear fruit, sometimes you got to go out on a limb. But that was a good one too. Right, right.
You know, like Jesus was anointed and maybe a pastor or two was anointed, but we're all of us who have the Holy Spirit within us, we're all anointed. So we're all accountable to proclaim the good news. We're all, you know, meant to be free.
Yeah. We all have an anointing to do something, to do some kind of good works, you know. We all have different gifts, different talents, and I think it's one thing that's important to keep your eyes open. Somebody prayed this morning, I don't know if it was Dan or about those opportunities. You know, they're always around us. The opportunities to minister, to help somebody, you know, wherever you're at. You know, you have to be. A lot of times, I'm so focused on what I'm doing. I'm going to Lowe's to buy a 2x4, and my brain's locked in on that. And there's somebody that's, you know, walking on crutches in an aisle next to you or whatever, you know. It's just good to be aware of what's going on around you, and there's needs everywhere. So I think that's what God's called Wellspring to do.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember we had it hanging in the back there. I don't know if we still do. Anybody else? All right. Worship team.